Steve Kelly.
Did he have an op-ed today?
Call to order Monday, March, no, Wednesday, yeah. March 14th. The Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight. We have the minutes from the March 12th meeting. Members would take a moment and review them. Are there any corrections?
We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Yes, we do.
I'll move the minutes of the meeting of Monday, March 12, 2007.
Senator Betzold moves approval of the minutes of Monday, March 12th. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails. The amendments are approved. I'm looking around for authors, and I see Senator Wiegar. Senator Wiegar, you are bringing us Senate File 380. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Senator Wiegar.
Madam Chair, Senate File 380 is an initiative from the Minnesota School Boards Association addressing various election law changes, three main areas. First section eliminates the requirement that a county, municipality, or school district get approval of the county auditor before conducting an election by mail.
Senator Wiegar, was this bill heard in the election
yes,
subcommittee?
So if there's a committee report by elections.
Move the.
Leave it's in the packet. And there may be a technical amendment with that report as well.
Let us find the committee report first. I see it. Senator, it's down in the list since it was number 7. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee report on Senate file. Please help me.
380. Senator Larson moves the subcommittee report on elections for Senate File 380. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Now, Senate Counsel has indicated that there is a technical amendment. It is the A1 amendment. Senator Larson moves adoption of the A1 amendment to Senate File 380. This is a reference to the statute, Mr. Watson.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
All those in favor of the A1 amendment offered by Senator Larson, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Wiegar, bill now is before us. And it's proper.
And thank you. Just a brief recap for the remaining sections. Section 2 permits the school board to decide whether to hold a primary election, and that decision must be made before June 1st. And Section 4 confirms the school board's authority to use electronic voting systems in elections held not in conjunction with a statewide election. I do not believe there's any controversy. Tom Deans from MSBA is here if there are additional questions on the proposal.
Mr. Deans, did you want to say anything?
Madam Chair, if there's no questions, I'm just here to respond to questions.
Are there any questions for Senator Wiegar? Seeing none, Senator Larson moves that Senate File 380, as amended, be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Wait 1 second. Did this bill go to the floor? Okay, the motion was correct. The motion prevails and the bill is passed. Will be going to the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
Let's see. I'm looking for authors.
I've
did
got
I
a
see
quick
Senator?
One, Madam Chair.
I think Senator Olsen is in the room, though.
Oh, there he is. Oh, there, yeah.
And then we'll go to committee members' bills unless other people come
fill
in.
Time.
Senator Olsen, you have Senate File 1165. Is that correct?
That is correct, Madam Chair. And I'm here today with Gary Carlson from the League of Minnesota Cities. I have an A1 and A2 amendment that I would like to.
Okay. I'm just trying to get the bill.
Madam Chair, I...
trying to find a copy of the bill.
Oh.
I have the amendments. I don't have the bill. Do members have the bill in their packet? Is it just me that doesn't have it? Or can't find it? I don't have it. I need to have it. I have it. I found it. Since we're taking these out of order, it's hard to get through all the papers. Okay, we have 1165, and we have two author's amendments. Senator Larson moves adoption of the A1 amendment.
Madam Chair,
Senator Betzel.
Perhaps I should explain the A1 amendment better. It's not so much of an author's amendment as it's a separate. I have a separate bill that was introduced, and it ties into the same subject matter. And this is where the PERA and the pension plans would like. They may have to discuss meetings in which you're discussing sensitive matters relating to medical records. And so they want the an exception to the open meetings law on this one. And I think Mary Vanek is on this
one. With regard to medical records?
Right. So this is a bit different from an author's amendment.
Yes.
I believe the other amendment is technically for his bill, but this is a separate issue that I requested, and apparently Senator Olsen is okay to have that amendment. But I wouldn't like this to be considered
an
author's
amendment.
Thank
you for that clarification. Yeah. Senator Olsen, you're comfortable with adding this provision for PERA to your bill? Okay. Are there any questions about this bill for Senator Betzel?
Since this is a bit more substantive, I have not heard from anybody because I've got a separate bill on it. Nobody's contacted me about any concerns about this, Madam Chair.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to make a comment about the A1 amendment?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Carlson.
Ms. Nieren from the Newspaper Associate.
Do you want to identify yourself, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Gary Carlson with the League of Minnesota Cities, and I don't want to speak on behalf of the Newspaper Association, but Sandy Nieren, the representative of the Newspaper Association, who I think had to leave, indicated she was comfortable with this language. So I think I'm safe in relaying that information to the committee.
Okay, so we have Senator Betzel's motion. We'll take Senator Betzel's motion to adopt the A1 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Now we have an author's amendment. Is that correct, Senator Olsen?
That's correct, the A2.
The A2 amendment. Senator Betzel moves the A2 amendment. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. We now have the Senate File 1165 before us as amended. Mr. Senator Olsen, would you like to explain your bill, please?
Yep. Madam Chair, members, this is a bill that's related to the open meeting law. Coming from county government, there's the concern of with possible pandemic flu epidemics or natural emergencies or whatever, that meetings be able to be conducted via telephone or electronically. And I have Mr. Carlson from the League of Minnesota Cities here to talk more directly to the bill.
Mr. Carlson, once again, if you'd identify yourself.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Gary Carlson with the League of Minnesota Cities. I would like to thank Senator Olsen for introducing this bill today. As our cities have begun the process of planning for the potential for a flu pandemic, one of the deficiencies they've noticed in state statute relates to the open meeting law. Currently, we have no clear authorization to hold a meeting that might involve people using a telephone or other electronic means to participate in that meeting so that we can obtain a quorum. We did design this legislation with Senator Olsen to allow that to occur. Now, let me tell you that I know this looks like a lot of brand-new statutory language. We did, however, borrow very heavily from other state statutes that do authorize similar teleconference meetings. And I could go through the statutes, but it's very common language in large part located throughout the statute related to various councils, commissions, and even the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. So the language has been tested over time, I believe, and I think it does accomplish the goal of allowing us to achieve a quorum.
Carlson, what other entities are permitted this kind of teleconferencing to hold a public meeting?
Senator Rest, just in short, I did a query of statutes. The Minnesota Agricultural and Economic Development Board, the Board of the Purpich Center for Arts Education, the Minnesota Veterans Home Board of Directors. I could go on. There are,
okay, but there are
numerous statutes that authorize very similar types of meetings. But again, we feel that this would be very helpful in the event of a pandemic, in the event that we cannot obtain a quorum of our city councils, county boards, or school boards. And this authorization has been looked at by the Minnesota Newspaper Association, and Ms. Niren and Mr. Anthonson have indicated to me that they are comfortable with the language. They don't necessarily support it, but they are comfortable with what we are requesting today.
Okay. Are there questions for Senator Olsen or Mr. Carlson?
Madam Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
Is there a safeguard in here so all members don't just stay home and vote by, how are you going to know if they're sick?
Mr. Just Carlson curious, or Senator Rothstein?
Could
happen.
Senator Rest and Senator Vickerman, yes. If you, the meeting must be called by the chief, basically the chief executive officer of the entity, and it has to be related to a flu pandemic or an emergency under Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12, which is basically the Emergency Powers Act. And under that statute, either the governor or a mayor or a county, the chief of a county board can call an emergency that would basically allow this type of a meeting to occur. But this cannot just be used simply for any meeting. This would have to be used under very limited circumstances, such as a flu pandemic or an emergency declared under Minnesota Statutes Chapter 12.
Any other questions? Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify either in support or in opposition to this bill? Seeing none, Senator Larson moves that Senate File 1165 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, Madam
Olsen.
Chair.
Senator Berglund. Senator Berglund, you have two bills before us.
And, Madam Chair, one of the bills is getting the amendment ready, so that would be...
One of them you have an amendment for that's not ready yet?
Yeah, we're trying to make it not cost any money.
Okay, so, Senator Berglund, which of your bills do you want to have before us?
So, if we could take the mental health bill...
Senate File 1025.
Right. And, Madam Chair, do you have a second engrossment of the bill? Because I've been trying to get my hands on one. I haven't been able to.
Apparently, I have the bill as introduced.
Okay, well, the reason I had hoped you had a second engrossment because the part of the bill that you need to focus on was an amendment that was added to the bill since it's been introduced.
Then Senator Berglund will have to lay the bill aside. We do not have the engrossment. And we're waiting for your other bill?
Amendment. To the other bill.
So we'll have to wait then. We'll get copies of that second engrossment here as quickly as we can. But if the issue that's
Right.
It to
I have
this committee.
The amendment, but I'm sure you'd prefer to have the second engrossment.
Yeah, I think we need to
be
a little bit strict here. So, is Senator Scheid back in the room?
Senator Olson's here.
No, I know, but I'm just going down the list now. And then Senator Olson, Senate File 124.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'm here today on behalf of Senate File 124, and this is a bill that...
Senator Olson, I believe this bill was heard in a subcommittee.
That's correct.
Is that correct? And actually, Senator Larson just stepped out of the room. Senator Gerlach, you're on the election subcommittee.
Which one is it before I move
on? It's just to adopt the subcommittee report.
Okay.
Senator Gerlach moves to adopt the subcommittee report on Senate File 124, which provides for appointment and consolidation of county offices. Okay. Senator Gerlach moves adoption of the subcommittee report from the Committee on Elections for Senate File Number 124. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a bill which basically does three things. The first section would move the time limit for filing for or filling a vacancy when there's been a death or something that's prevented someone from serving in the office of county commissioner from 60 days to 90 days. And also, the first part of this bill allows for the filling of that vacancy through an appointment. And basically, this is something that came about because in a number of counties, it's been the case that someone, it's had to be in the newspaper to advertise for and meet the filing requirements before someone's funeral's even occurred, and that's caused a lot of difficulties for people. The second part of this bill allows certain technical positions to be at the county's option to be appointed rather than elected without having to come to the legislature and specifically seek approval. And so at this point, depending on the amount of time that you want to give this bill, I have a number of witnesses who would like to testify. And first, I'll allow.
Senator Olson, the bill was heard extensively in the subcommittee on elections. I don't know that we need a repeat of all of that testimony. But if your witnesses would stand ready for questions, I think that would be appropriate before the full committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And also before the full committee, I believe there's been a packet that's that summarizes some of the testimony that was presented to the subcommittee.
Okay. Are there questions for Senator Olson about her bill, moving the option for filling a vacancy in the office of a county commissioner by appointment and also allowing for a special election to be moved to 90 days? And then it provides a procedure for or permits the offices of county auditor and treasurer to be combined and made appointment without a referendum.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bickerman.
I don't sit on the election committee, so I'm just going to ask a question. You know this? Combining, I've carried that kind of legislation myself over the years. Maybe Senate Consul could tell me, what are we doing different than we already can't do?
Mr. Bodder?
Madam Chair.
Or maybe Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, with your permission, Mr. Solberg would like to, or excuse me, Mr. Matthews would like to address that issue.
Mr. Matthews?
Madam Chair, thank you. The difference here is that we're actually putting this in place for all counties across the state so that all counties will have the option to go through this procedure and won't have to seek the special legislation that you've carried in the past. It can be a burden for some of the smaller counties to have to come down here and go through the process, which has always typically been approved by the legislature anyway on a county-by-county basis. So this would do it for all counties.
Well, then, Madam Chair and sir,
Senator Bickerman.
You're just the provisions are the same in here. You're just making it so you don't have to come for every.
Correct. Okay.
That's correct, Senator Bickerman.
Are there further questions? Is there someone who would want to make a brief statement about the bill? Yes. Please identify yourself for the record.
Pat Silver, Grant County Treasurer.
Yes. Please proceed.
I am here today to testify on behalf of the Minnesota Association of County Officers, which is the auditors, treasurers, and recorders across the state. It is the position of our organization to oppose Senate File 124, Sections 3 through 6. Minnesota Statute 375A already allows counties to restructure local government to fit the needs of the operation for their specific county. The difference between current law and the change that is being proposed in Senate File 24 is that This legislation seeks to eliminate that part of the process that includes the participation of the voters of the counties in Minnesota. This issue has nothing to do with the auditor, treasurer, recorder, or policymaking. No matter how you look at it, you would be taking away the rights of the voters. The big push for appointment and combination started in the early 80s when county commissioners raised concerns about the qualifications of individuals who sought to run for elected offices of the auditor, treasurer, and recorder. The underlying message was that voters were capable of electing individuals to fill the offices of county commissioner, state legislator, governor, federal legislator, and even the president of the United States, but not knowledgeable enough to elect a qualified individual to fill the auditor, treasurer, and recorder positions. As an association, we met that challenge with an education certification program that has since developed into an ongoing program through a certified educational institution that fits the needs of newly elected individuals to these positions, as well as those who have served numerous terms in office. This program allows us to meet the continual changes that we see in government each year. Now that we've met the educational concerns of these three positions, we now face a new challenge. Okay, that challenge has been that we do not set policy. We do not have policy-making authority. That statement's been made many times by county commissioners and legislators, but made without an explanation of how it relates to the issue of appointment or combination. The purpose of having these offices elected is to maintain the balance of power within the local government structure. If these positions become appointed, who will be able to stand up and question or challenge county policy or actions taken by the county board without fear for losing their job? Putting that much authority into the hands of a small body of policymakers leaves few, if any, options for questioning the actions of those in power when a situation calls for that kind of action. Since auditors, treasurers, and recorders are elected countywide, we are not subject to special interest areas. We do not have policymaking authority, and we do not set budgets. Who better to question public policy than these three positions who are there every day and accountable to the county's voters countywide? But take away the elected option, and who do we have left to ask those hard questions? Democracy is about people having choices, and yet legislation such as this appointment bill does exactly opposite of what democracy intended. Appointment will move government one more step away from the voters. Local, state, and federal agencies have launched tremendous campaigns in the last 5 years to get voters involved into the voting process, and yet we are looking at legislation that eliminates three elected positions. And the public hasn't even had the courtesy of being informed that they are in jeopardy of losing their right to vote for local offices. If we think the public doesn't care about losing this right to vote, just put the question on the ballot and let them speak. Local elections get voters out to the polls. They tend to have a more personal relationship with local government.
Can I ask you because to it's accessible. Wind up?
About three sentences?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, they tend to be more personal relationship with county government because it's accessible to them on a daily basis. If voters have fewer and fewer local choices at the polls, do we risk losing their enthusiasm for participating in the elective process? I ask you today as a committee to please.
Thank you for your testimony. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I also appreciate Ms. Soberg's testimony. But with all due respect, in terms of her characterization of this bill, I would say that the bill does provide for voter participation and really doesn't do the what it's been represented to do by Ms. Soberg. It's basically just preventing the county from having to come down here. It's a voluntary thing on their part, whether they decide to make it an elected or an appointed position, and there's still an opportunity for voters to weigh in. And I'll let Ms.
And Ms. Silver did testify in front of the subcommittee, so it's not new testimony to us as we acted on this bill. Ms. Matthews, be very brief.
Yeah, very brief. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say that we already have 23 counties who appoint row officers currently, and I think in those counties, I think it's a mischaracterization to say that those officers are not doing their job holding the county boards accountable and fulfilling their role as a public servant. I think that's a mischaracterization. Also, as far as public notice, there is, as Senator Olson mentioned, there are two notices provided before a hearing, before the board actually can discuss the issue, and then there is provisions for a reverse referendum, three of which have occurred and have actually defeated the board's proposal to make the offices appointed. I won't list the counties, but if you're interested, I'd be happy to share that.
Are there questions for or comments to Senator Olson?
Madam Chair, where's the bill go from here if it leaves here?
To the floor, Senator Vickerman. Senator Larson, do you make a motion?
Sure, Madam Chair. I move that Senate File 124 be recommended to pass.
Senator Larson. It will come. Just let me state the motion. Senator Larson moves that Senate File 124 be recommended to pass. Senator Day.
Madam Chair, you said that 24 counties have this already?
23 counties.
23 counties. And so in 23 counties, the county board can appoint a treasurer-auditor combination without a referendum in their county?
Senator A, I believe they came to the legislature for special legislation to accomplish that, individual legislation to accomplish that, and they were granted that. Any other discussion of the motion? Senator Larson renews his motion that Senate File 124 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Olson. Senator Scheid. Senator Berglund, we are awaiting copies of that second engrossment. Sorry. Senator Scheid has Senate file 1073.
Yes, Madam Chair.
And this is the
Madam Chair, it's the state employee contract ratification bill.
Waiting through the paper to find it.
And I do have an amendment, Madam Chair, the A1.
Okay. Okay, so we have Senate File 1073 before us relating to labor agreements. And Senator Scheid has a technical amendment. Senator Vickerman moves the she has an author's amendment. It's relating to the Gambling Control Board. Senator Vickerman moves adoption of the A1 amendment. All those in favor of that amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Scheid.
And Madam Chair and members, this bill represents what has been endorsed and passed by the Subcommittee on Employee Relations of the Legislative Coordinating Commission. And Mr. Hubinger of the LCC is here with me. And Mr. Larson, Paul Larson, is here as well if you have any questions concerning these contracts. But this bill approves two of the collective bargaining agreements. These did not get done in the previous year. I think we approved them in 2006, and those labor agreements. And two of them did not get done, but I think they came to voluntary agreement in both cases. Then there's one compensation plan that's for employees in the executive branch. And then there's also a salary increase for the head of one state agency, which is the amendment that we just added, and that has to do with the Gambling Control Board. And that was something, I don't know why it's not in the bill. Was it done after?
Oversight in the drafting.
It was an oversight in the drafting. Okay, so the bill now with the amendment represents
action.
The action that has taken and what came out of the Subcommittee on Employee Relations.
Members have in their packets a memo from Mr. Hubinger regarding the state employee contract ratification bill. If you have any questions about any of the provisions there, we can Mr. Hubinger is here to answer questions. Are there any comments or questions for Senator Scheid? Senator Vickerman.
Madam Chair, this is simply needs our motion to approve this because it's already been approved, am I right?
That's correct.
I looked at the Gambling Control Board. I pick up on gambling, and I see that's also included in this. So with that, Madam Chair, I would move the adoption.
Senator Vickerman moves that Senate File 1073 as amended be recommended to pass. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition to this bill? Are there any questions or comments, further comments from the members? Seeing none. We have the Vickerman motion that Senate File 1073 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails.
Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you. I thought I saw Senator Rummel come in the room. Yes, Senator Rummel. Council agrees. Before you begin, Senator Berglund, we understand that difficulty. We're just checking with council to see if we can work off the first engrossment of your bill. And we will. I just want you to know we are checking that out and hope that we can get to you immediately after this. Senator Rummel brings Senate File 753.
Madam Chair.
753. Senator Larson.
Madam Chair, I move adoption of the subcommittee report on Senate File 753.
Senator Larson moves adoption of the subcommittee report of elections on Senate File 753. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have Senate File 753 before us. Senator Rummel.
Madam Chair, and members of the committee, I believe we have an A2 amendment. Does that have to be offered from the table, or because this is the second reading?
A member of the committee will need to offer it for you. I am looking for it. I do not see it. A2 amendment. This is not an author's amendment since the bill was heard in the subcommittee, so Senator Larson will offer it. Senator Larson moves the A2 amendment, but before we accept it, it needs to be explained. Senator Rummel.
Madam Chair, I'm going to ask my witness here, Mr. Kent Sulem, to explain the amendment.
Mr. Sulem.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Kent Sulem with the Minnesota Association of Townships. What the amendment does is address a situation that we did talk about in the subcommittee. And for township elections that are completely nonpartisan, there is no endorsing process whatsoever. It will give townships the same authority the school districts currently have to not worry about party affiliation when appointing election judges for a standalone town election, which hopefully many of you are aware occurred last night this year. The second Tuesday of March is Township Day. This will also allow greater flexibility for township standalone elections not to have to worry about party affiliation for a completely nonpartisan, non-endorsed election. It does one other piece, and that is the new law that is the basis for Senate File 753, that citation is added to the existing school district statute.
Are there questions for Mr. Sulem or Senator Rummel on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Rummel, if you would now explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a bill that makes it easier and probably assists us in our democratic process. The first thing it does is it allows cities and counties and school districts and townships to appoint election judges who are not affiliated with major political parties. But it also maintains that there is political party balance among the election judges at the polls. Secondly, it assures that judges affiliated with different parties are available to assist voters. Initial ballots, summary statements, and of precinct vote totals after the polls close on election. It responds to requests also from constituents who are currently ineligible to be a judge because they are not affiliated with a major party. Most of all, it relieves the local jurisdiction of the growing difficulty of recruiting enough qualified election judges to serve at the polls. To explain this further, I'm asking my second witness, Diane Peterson, to tell you the story of election judges.
Senator Rummel, we will hear briefly from your witness, but this bill had a full hearing in the election subcommittee, and it's not our intention to repeat that hearing here.
Okay.
But certainly if you'd like to speak very briefly.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and Senators. I did want to come. I am a constituent of Senator Rummel. I live in White Bear Lake. My name is Diane J. Peterson. In 2004, I did serve for the first time as an election judge. At that time, I was affiliated with a major party. I am not currently affiliated with a major party. I no longer wish to be affiliated with one of the major parties. And yet I wish to serve as an election judge, and I thank her for bringing this forward at my request, because this will remove a barrier to me for serving as an election judge.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition to Senate File 753 as amended? Seeing none, Senator Larson moves that Senate File 753, as amended, be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Senator Berglund, we are informed that we have the correct version in our packets of Senate File 1025. It's not marked. This is it, though, huh?
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, the language that brings the bill to this committee is the language.
Apparently, we're still. Now we have it. It's just not distributed. Okay, now we'll get it. And it is, we're working off the first engrossment. Senator Berglund, Senate File 1025.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, Senate File 1025 is the Governor's Mental Health Initiative. And the provision that brings the bill here is a provision that I added that I think will strengthen the bill. The language is on the first page, so you don't need to look through all the other pages. It deals with reserving a portion of the janitorial services that are awarded by the Commissioner of Administration to supported employment providers. And this is done in about 35 other states in the nation. And one of the biggest barriers to people in recovery with mental illness is employment. And it just seems to me that Minnesota should be a model to other employers in terms of being willing to help people who need supported employment be able to get the jobs. When a person with serious and persistent mental illness can be in a supported employment position, they then have income to pay, to help pay for their housing and help pay for the other services that they need. So it is kind of a critical linchpin in the whole continuum of services. I do have with me today John Trapp, who works in providing services to people with serious and persistent mental illness. His organization is called TASS Unlimited, and I'd like him just to spend a few minutes talking about the benefits of the employment that he provides to people.
Senator Berglund, I do note on line 122 there is a blank for the
yes.
percent.
And I would suggest if someone would move 19.
19?
Mm-hmm.
So move, Madam
Senator
Chair.
Larson moves to insert 19 at in the blank on line 122. Is there any discussion of that motion? Senator Berglund, do you want to explain why 19? Just briefly.
We believe that we easily can get qualified providers to provide that portion of the of the janitorial services.
Any questions about the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Welcome to the committee, sir. If you'd identify yourself for the record, Mr. Trepp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm John Trepp with Tasks Unlimited. I do have a handout. Is there a procedure for getting that?
Yes, the page will come to the table and okay. receive it from you.
Great. Tasks Unlimited provides supported employment and supported housing to people with mental illness. And I'm going to focus on the supported employment part of that, and I'll try to be brief. I don't know which senator in the Minnesota Senate has a reputation for the coldest heart, but I guess you guys probably have a theory about that. Whoever that is, I would suggest that even the coldest hearted senator does not really want people with mental illness to starve in the street, to die of malnutrition. That this is Minnesota,
certainly,
and we're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to take care of these people. The most expensive way to do that is in a state hospital, which can cost between $200,000 and $300,000 per year. Mostly we've agreed not to do that. The second most expensive strategy is to keep people individually in the community without employment, with a disability check, with a subsidized apartment, with food stamps, and with lots of expensive services. And unfortunately, this is our dominant approach these days. Even though we know it doesn't work very well, and even though we know that people will cycle in and out of the hospital and in and out of homelessness, and in the end we'll spend between $50,000 and $100,000 a year on these people individually. Fortunately, there is a better alternative, and that's a job. I've been in this business for 30 years, and I can tell you that people that have jobs, people with serious mental illness that have jobs, do not go to the hospital. I think in our agency we have established is about a 95% reduction in hospitalization if people have employment. The federal government already does this, and I know that when I mention the federal government to state legislators, you kind of roll your eyes about that. But I passed out a brochure that talks about specifically about the impact of support employment with the federal government in the state of Minnesota. And I'd like to call your attention to the next to the last page. It has, it looks like that. It has a bunch of bar graphs. And it talks there about the great reduction in benefits that are accomplished when people have employment. You're going to pay for taking care of people with mental illness one way or the other. It doesn't cost anymore. You're also going to pay to have the buildings cleaned. And it doesn't cost anymore, certainly not significantly more, to contract with agencies like Tasks Unlimited. And you will still get your buildings clean, and you'll get a social benefit in the process. This is truly a win-win proposition.
Are there comments or questions for Senator Berglund or Mr. Trapp? Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition to this legislation? Please come forward. you to identify yourself, please, for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. My name is Mark Ponsol. I'm an Assistant Ramsey County Attorney. I'm appearing today representing the Minnesota County Attorneys Association, and we have one concern with this bill, specifically Section 9 of Senate File 1025. In the first engrossment, anyway, Section 9 is a provision having to do with child support enforcement.
Excuse me, I didn't get your name.
I'm sorry, Mark Ponsol.
Mr. Ponsol, that part of this bill is not before this committee. We're only dealing with the portion that deals with state contracts.
Okay, so my understanding would be that if you pass this bill, you're only passing that part that you're talking about today then? Is that how that works?
No, we pass the whole bill on to the next committee, but our jurisdiction is not in terms of child support regulations or statutes, but only with regard, in this bill, to state contracts. We try to be pretty careful about that.
And, Madam Chair, I very much appreciate that, but I guess that's why I'm here. The child support bill is in a mental health bill, and we have some concerns about that at the County Attorney's Association. But if what Madam Chair is saying is that my testimony is better served in another committee, I will not take up any more of the time. I do appreciate the opportunity at least to indicate that. So thank you for clarifying that, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir, and you may want to take that up also with Senator Berglund, too, as the bill moves forward to the next committee.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Is there any other testimony, either in favor or in opposition to this bill with regard to the jurisdiction of this committee? We're not always pure, but we try to be. Seeing none, Senator Vickerman moves that Senate file 1025, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. We're still waiting on your other bill, I believe.
I have the amendment for the
other. Oh, you
one.
Do. Okay.
You want to do it.
Then we will take up Senate File 1178. And we do we have a first engrossment of that bill. Is that correct, Senator Berglund?
Right,
that's what we're dealing with.
The amendment is a delete everything amendment, so.
Oh, my. Okay. Since this is not a first committee, we need an explanation of the amendment to bring it.
Let me just explain the basic purpose of the bill. Basic purpose of the bill is to follow up on the legislative auditor's recommendations in regard to the study they did about services offered by counties across the state through the Department of Human Services. And they found a lot of unevenness in terms of the quality of the service, the amount of services provided, and they recommended that we do some things about it. This is a study that would be set up in the Department of Human Services then to accomplish that goal. The reason the amendment is here is because when we heard this bill in the first committee, we became aware of the fact that the Department of Human Services in its original form would place a fiscal note on the bill. And it wasn't our idea or intention that we really needed to spend money to accomplish this study. So this is the language they have suggested to us to accomplish our same goal, but without having a fiscal note or adding staff to the department.
Senator Berglund, we have a set of guidelines for advisory committees, task force. I'm trying to locate them.
Maybe if you find them, if I could ever get a copy, that would be really...
Beg pardon?
I said if you find them and if I could ever get a copy, that would be great.
I have my own copy here. I'm assuming that your amendment was drafted with these guidelines in mind.
Madam Chair, I was not aware that you had guidelines. My goal was to, A, accomplish the task at hand, and, B, not have it have a fiscal note.
Senator Berglund, I handed these out on the floor of the Senate on February 19th and made an announcement that anyone who had a advisory committee or a task force, and we have made that, we have been making that available to people.
Thank you.
I think it's likely that most of them are present. First of all, Senator Berglund does not need to be codified because it will just go in a session law. So at that, at some point, we will make an amendment to strike that. We ask if you have the guidelines now in front of you. There is a name in, as such that it at least is identified what it is to do. You have a total number of members. Since this committee doesn't involve legislators, this bill will go to the Committee on Rules. The appointing authority, you state here, you don't indicate who will convene the first meeting, how the group comes into being, other than saying that the commissioner shall establish the advisory committee.
I think it was anticipated that the commissioner.
Pardon?
I think we anticipated, Madam Chair, that the Commissioner of Human Services would convene the first meeting.
And we need a statement to that effect. We've just run into problems with commissions being established, and then there's no way in statute for them to have their first meeting. So we need that.
I understand.
Mr. Bodden is working on some amendments. We also ask that if there is a chair of the group to name who that would be, either by person or office. Was it your intent that the commissioner share commissioner serve as chair of this committee?
I guess so. I hadn't really thought that we would need a chair because it's not, it's a, more of a working group, but well, if we need a chair, I guess it'd be the commissioner or their designee.
Senator, Mr. Bodden, are you preparing that part of the amendment too?
Madam Chair, I think I can do that now.
Okay.
On page one, line six, after establish, insert, and convene the first meeting of. And then on page one, line seven, after the period, you could insert the advisory committee shall select its chair, or a chair from its membership at the first meeting.
Okay. Would you repeat that for the clerk, please?
That last sentence going in on page one, line seven, the advisory committee shall select a chair from its membership at the first meeting.
Okay. One of the things also, by the way, Senator Berglund, that we have found to be helpful direction to the subcommittee on committees and the speaker is to suggest a date by which these appointments should be made. Typically, we have been saying by September 1st of this year so that this group can get going with its legislative members.
Sounds good to me.
Mr. Bodden, would you give us an amendment for that?
Sure, Madam Chair. There's actually one other small technical amendment on page one, line eight. The reference is to the Senate Committee on Rules and Administration. I think the proper reference would be to the Senate Subcommittee on Committees of the Committee on Rules and Administration.
Sure.
So on page one, line eight, after Senate, insert Subcommittee on Committees of the. And then on page one, line 11, after the period, I think you could insert the appointments required under this paragraph must be completed by September 1st, 2007.
Okay, let's take that amendment. These are pretty boilerplate for our committee. We like people to come with them done, but we work with people when they don't. All those in favor, Senator Larson moves that amendment. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. In your next paragraph, you do indicate the duties of the group, and you, in terms of accountability, that they will report to the legislature, and that's general, but other places they have specified which committees of the legislature they would do that to, but that's fine. Otherwise, it's reporting to, giving a report to the Legislative Reference Library meets that requirement. And the committee itself expires in 4 years. Senator Berglund, you are assuming that the staffing for this committee will be done by the Commissioner of Human Services. Is that correct?
Well, Madam Chair, that's why we worked on this language to make sure that they didn't have to add any staff. That this could be done by existing staff.
Mr. Bodern, do you note any other places where we need to respond to the guidelines?
Madam Chair, the only other, there's a suggestion, you talked about the report. If you want to, you could tighten that up and on page 1, line 17, instead of saying legislature, insert chairs of the legislative committees and divisions with jurisdiction over human services.
Well, that
Senator Berglund?
Be okay, too.
Yep. Senator Larson moves that amendment to the reporting being to the specific committee chairs with jurisdiction over Department of Human Services. All those in favor of that amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Mr. Bodern, is that it? Senator Betzel.
Question on the last amendment. Does it have to say, if it means committees, does that mean like budget divisions such as the one that Senator Berglund chairs? Does that go there too, or would that only go to the committee chair, which would be the finance committee chair?
You said it. Madam Chair, point. Senator Betzel, the amendment did include committees and divisions.
Divisions, okay. I didn't catch that. Thank you.
Any other questions? Is there any other comments? Anybody want to speak in favor or in opposition to this bill? Seeing none, Senator Larson moves that Senate File 1178.
Excuse me, ma'am.
To identify yourself, please.
Yes, my name is Terry Nyblum. I'm an 11-year family law advocate, volunteer advocate, and I'm here today to speak against Senate File 1178 and ask the committee to table it until an amendment is adopted to allow citizens to participate on this committee. When we talk about family law issues, there's no bigger issue in the state of Minnesota that draws more attention than family law, and it just seems that citizens could contribute to this committee and help some good decisions to be made. Additionally, our state's child support enforcement program has lacked notice and due process of law for many years. And when I hear DHS or what's written in this bill to simplify and streamline, I'm concerned as to what other protections of law may be removed from our child support enforcement program. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone who wishes to, a member, have a question or comment for the witness? Senator Roebling?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to ask Senator Berglund why we don't have any members of the public.
Senator Berglund?
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Roebling, I mean, I really don't oppose that, but really this legislative auditor's report was focusing on the inefficiencies and ineffectiveness of the delivery of the service, not all the components
the
of the service, but you know, the fact that we have 87 counties doing this, and in the 87 counties, there's a lot different level of numbers of people or levels of service to those people being provided. And so this was just to get together with the counties and members of the legislature to figure out, for example, should the state take over the licensing of child care centers? We have, the county does some of it now, the state does some of it now. In the areas where the counties do some of it, it's done in very different ways and with different costs. And so that was the idea of it. And so it didn't occur to me anyway, and I don't think it's occurred to anyone else so far, that we would be getting into the whole issue of should we license child care or not, and, you know, what should the rules be about licensing child care. It was more about how to administer those kind of functions. And would there be a better way to do that so that we could get a more even service provided to the citizens of the state of Minnesota?
Is there any further discussion on,
Madam
on
Chair,
this
if,
bill?
If I may, to what she mentioned.
Very briefly, please.
Yes. The Minnesota Legislative Audit Committee instructed the Legislative Auditor's Office to report on treating custodial and non-custodial parents and their children fairly. The final report included nothing about that directive from the committee.
We have the researcher from the Legislative Auditor's Office, Mr. Alter. Would you just clarify what the direction from the Legislative Audit Commission was to the OLA?
Madam Chair, I'm Joel Alter with the Legislative Auditor's Office, and perhaps there's some confusion because this report was never about specifically child support. It really was cutting across programs. We did do a study that came out last year that focused on child support enforcement, and perhaps that is what the witness is testifying about.
But this is not, this legislation is in response to the program evaluation that was done. What we heard in January, I believe, was. Is that correct? Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? Then Senator Larson moves that Senate File 1178, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Rules. All who are in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee.
And Senator Berglund, if in the future you do have bills that have advisory committees on them, if you take a look at the guidelines, we appreciate it.
I did save it. Thank you.
Great.
I apologize for not being more alert.
It, what we have seen over time is experiences of groups that have a good purpose and they have no way of coming into being or going out of existence or whatever. So trying to get some consistency. Senator Bonhoff. Senator Bonhoff, you have two bills in front of us, Senate File 1251 and Senate File 92.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'd like to start with Senate File 92, as I've actually been before the committee on Senate File 92 before, and I now believe that I am ready to present this bill. I do have a delete amendment, which is being handed out, although I have an oral amendment to the delete amendment.
Just one moment. We acted on Senator Berglund's bill without adopting the delete all amendment. It was moved, so Senator Betzel moves that Senate file. What was 1178, that we reconsider the motion by which we attempted to pass Senate File 1178. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. We now have Senate File 1178 in front of us, and Senator Betzold moves the delete everything amendment. All those
as amended.
As amended. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Betzel moves now that Senate File 1178 as amended be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Rules. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion prevails. Senator Bonhoff, we have the A3 amendment and...
Yes, Madam Chair, and I do have oral an oral amendment as well. Would you like me to give you the oral amendments now or wait until we move
will
this?
Incorporate your oral amendment if you would state where that needs to be on there on the A3 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 1, line 1.16, the written out number 6 should be 4. On 1.17, 3 then becomes 2. And on 1.18, 2 becomes 1.
So Senator Bonhoff modifies her amendment by, there's one other change, Senator Bonhoff. Mr. Bodern?
Madam Chair, there are just references several places to the total number of members, and I assume that this is simply going to reduce the number of members by 2. So on lines 4 and 10, you'd need to delete 13 and insert 11.
Mr. Bonner, actually, the changes I made conformed the total number of members to the amount that are in the bill.
Thank you.
Okay. So Senator Bonhoff incorporates in her amendment line 16 strike 6 and insert 4, line 17 strike 3 and insert 2, and line 18 strike 2 and insert 1. Senator Bonhoff, Senator Betzel?
Well, I'm still counting 13.
That's correct, Senator Betzel.
There was an error in the way the amendment was drafted.
I see.
Is that clear?
Okay, I see.
Senator Bonhoff, have we amended your bill when it was before us?
Yes.
Before?
Yes, we did.
Okay, well then,
we did.
Since it's coming back, I don't know if this is an author's amendment. Senator Larson moves the delete everything amendment A3. Senator Bonhoff, why don't you explain how it now meets the guidelines?
Very good. The problem that I had, Madam Chair, when I was before the committee the last time was with regard to appointing the members to the committee, that in case there was a deadlock, we had no way to solve that. So in this particular case, on line 1.16, where we say there are 4 public members, they're appointed as follows: 2 by the Senate Subcommittee on Committees of the Committee on Rules and Administration, 1 by the Speaker, and 1 by the Minority Leader of the House of Representatives. Madam Chair, the same process is used with the 4 public members. Although, Madam Chair, we also... when we had an opportunity to look at the bill, we saw a few other ways to make this more clear in terms of the reporting. So we have made some minor changes with regard to the reporting. We have added in Subdivision 3 under duties, as conclusive evidence becomes available, the board shall make periodic reports and recommendations to the governor and the chairs of the legislative committees and divisions with jurisdiction over education policy and finance. So before we had said that we had had an ending date and that there would be reports, but we've added some detail to that section. And Madam Chair, in listening to the remarks with Senator Berglund, I saw that in fact we had not put in the language that said by when these appointments should have been made. And so if this is important to the committee, I would suggest that we adopt the same language that Senator Berglund's bill adopted and say that all of these appointments would be done by September 1st, 2007. So that would be an additional amendment.
Senator Larson moves. Mr. Bodern, where would that language be inserted?
Madam Chair, on page 1, after line 24, you can insert another sentence that says the appointments required under this paragraph must be completed by September 1st, 2007.
Senator Larson moves adoption of that amendment to requiring the appointments to be made by September 1, 2007.
Madam Chair, I believe at this point I have fulfilled the guidelines.
Thank you, Senator Bonoff. Are there questions for Senator Bonoff about the advisory board on school readiness? Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Bonoff, I have two. The first one is this board is, or this task, or what is it here? It's the advisory board. It's going to be making reports and such. How does this, who staffs this, and is this all within the Department of Education? They come up with that? Is there any, does it direct who actually staffs this?
Senator Gerlach, this, we did discuss this though when I was before the committee before. There won't be a formal staff person. The commissioner will provide any staff support that's needed.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Bonoff. We were talking about the numbers, and we have the public member appointments, and we have, as it was changed to the before public members,
and
in the, if I wanted to try to follow, I was a little confused, but see if I understand this. In the House of Representatives, you have the Speaker appointing one and the Minority Leader appointing one. And in the Senate, you have both appointments coming from one place, the Senate Subcommittee on Committees of the Committee on Rules Administration, which essentially is the majority, the Senate Majority Leader.
Madam Chair, Senator Gerlach, it's my understanding that that on the committee and the Committee on Rules is made up of members in both houses, and that they often are charged with
both parties.
I apologize, and that they are charged with making these types of appointments. So that that seems to be the standard practice in the Senate. That's what I was recommended to do.
Okay, Madam Chair, I guess I'm just not familiar with it. Is it? I mean, is that the case? Is that the standard practice? We don't, I mean, I believe there aren't there are a lot of boards, commissions that on it specifies the
Senator,
minority leader.
Senator Gerlach, on occasion, the appointments are made by the individual leaders, but it's really more of a custom for there to for it to be done by the subcommittee on committees, and that is a five-person group, as I recall now. It's been expanded, and it does include the minority leader in actions on that group. We have a different tradition in the Senate. Occasionally, there's an appointment that's given to the president of the Senate, as a matter of fact. I serve on the CAP board as the president of the Senate's appointment. There's just one person. But routinely, we use a subcommittee on committees, and I believe that the minority party is almost, you know, without exception, satisfied with the way in which that works, that represents their interest in that body.
Okay. Well, then, Madam Chair, if I could, because I'm not familiar with how a lot of these appointments work, and maybe if I could ask Senator Day a question. Senator Day, we're discussing the appointment process, and that in the in this particular state advisory board that Senator Bonoff has before us, it says that citizen members in the House side will be appointed by the one by the Speaker of the House, one by the Minority Leader. However, the bill says that in the Senate, both of those citizen appointees will be appointed by the Senate Subcommittee on Committees of the Committee on Rules Administration, and there are five members of that. I'm just looking out for the interests of the minority, because I want the minority to have a voice, and if those three members can just simply overrule any choices, but I don't know what the custom is, and I know that you've been playing a role in this for many years. If you feel comfortable that there is fair and adequate minority representation using this process, I can go with that. If you could let me know if you think it would be better to specify that one is appointed by this committee or by the individual, and one should specifically and be spelled out as reserved for the minority leader, if that is a more fair process to make sure that these task forces have fair representation, then that's what I'm looking for. Is Senator Day, if you have any guidance for me from your experience over the last decade,
Senator Day, comment.
And then Madam Chair,
I have a suggestion.
the guidance I would have is that I don't know what maybe the majority leader and the minority leader have worked out, but if to have true representation, you're right, it should be a minority. One member from the minority would be a better way to word it, and I'm sure Senator Bonhoff wouldn't mind that. So
I think that would be my suggestion to make. What is not clear here is that one of the members appointed by the Senate committee on the subcommittee on committees must be from the minority party, and I think that would preserve. Our tradition of using the subcommittee on committees for appointments, which we have, but would ensure that a member of the minority party is on this task force.
Well, Madam Chair,
Senator Betzel,
maybe I'm reading this wrong. Isn't it four public members for community or business leaders appointed as follows? So then the subcommittee on committees appoints two public members.
These are not legislators.
Not legislators.
Oh, that I'm sorry.
So they're not legislators, and
I see.
I don't know,
Madam
how that
Chair,
works.
Yeah, and Senator Butson, Madam Chair, I'm comfortable with the change that Senator Gerlach is recommending. Okay. That's fine with me.
I'm sorry, I was thinking back about the other bill. Senator Mr. Bodern, could you change that to? One member appointed by the majority leader and one member appointed by the minority leader of the Senate.
Chair, that gets to the point, whatever the proper language is.
Thank you for raising that, Senator Gerlach.
And, Madam Chair, I assume you want to do that in both places where there are appointments of public members by the subcommittee on committees.
That's Madam Chair, yes, that would be my intention as the...
Okay.
Yes.
It was funny.
Then, Madam Chair, on page 1, line 17, delete everything after the colon and insert one by the Senate majority leader and one by the Senate minority leader. And on line 18, delete everything before the comma. And then on page 1, line 22, delete everything after the colon and insert one by the Senate Majority Leader and one by the Senate Minority Leader. And on page 1, line 23, delete everything before the comma.
Senator Gerlach moves that amendment. Is there any further discussion by the members?
Madam Chair, I don't
Senator
know that
Betzel.
We actually, did we vote on the previous amendment as well, too, completing... by September 107, Mr. Bodden suggested some signing. I don't know if we voted on that, so should we adopt those as one motion?
Sure.
Okay.
Senator Gerlach moves both of those provisions, the time of the appointments and the appointing authority being the majority leader and minority leader. Is everyone clear on that now? All those in favor of Senator Gerlach's motion to amend the bill, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. And did we adopt the delete everything amendment?
I don't believe we have yet.
Okay, then we have the delete everything amendment before us as amended. Senator Vickerman moves adoption of the delete everything amendment as amended. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Now we have Senate File 92 before us. Senator Bonhoff, thank you very much for your work on this bill and bringing the bill back to us. Is there further discussion?
I'm moving to the Madam Chair, if you know where it goes, or did we already?
This needs to go to Finance.
Okay,
Senator Vickerman? Senator Vickerman moves that Senate File Number 92 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you.
Senator Gerlach, I wonder if, since we do have these two alternative ways of appointing members to commissions, et cetera, I wonder if you might check with Senator Senjum. And I do think they did slightly change the number of people that serve on the subcommittee on committees for this purpose and get some feedback. I mean, we've gotten it from Senator David. Get some from him as well with regard to that. People come in with bills going one way or the other. We generally have allowed them to do it the way they present it, but you know, maybe there should be a routine change, and we should look into that. Senator Betzel.
That raises a point. We just, I think, move this bill to finance. Although we're not appointing legislators to this, is this something that would have to go to the Rules Committee? I think they do like to at least keep track of who they have to appoint. And I have a hunch that at some point the Rules Committee is probably going to make some sort of decision as how they want this handled, because as these appointments are coming in, they probably want some consistency as well, too. But we did send this to Finance. I don't know if the Rules Committee would need to see it as well. I think the rule says legislator appointments, but...
Madam Chair and Senator Betzel, the way the bill was amended, it actually won't involve the Rules Committee. It's right. The majority and minority leader.
Okay.
It's a minor distinction, but...
And that's another... That's another issue. We might get a few people together and talk about that outside of the committee and make a proposal, at least among ourselves, about to suggest to the members as another guideline, quite frankly, what the implications are of naming an appointing authority like the Speaker or in the House, it would have to be that way. And are recognizing the differences between the House and the Senate, et cetera, knowing that when it's legislators over here, it needs to go to Rules and so forth. But we'll work on that if that's okay, Senator Gerlach.
Right.
Okay. So we have dealt with Senate File 92. We now have Senate File 1251 in front of us, Senator. Bonoff, I believe this is your bill as well.
Yes, Madam Chair and members, and this is a different bill. This is a bill that calls for joint powers, and so I'm here before you because of that. And so I don't have a checklist, so I don't know specifically. I did ask counsel to look at it with regard to what you look for, but I don't know if there are things that I would have needed to have changed to meet the requirements that this
Madam
committee
Chair,
stipulates.
Senator Bickerman?
Certainly not this jurisdiction, Section 2 appropriations. We don't have anything to do with appropriations, do we? So that part, I see right away, would not be before this committee.
No, it's not Section 2 that's in front of this committee. It's because it deals with the Three Rivers Park District, which is we deal with local government, and so we would deal with this as a local government issue.
Madam Chair, I can just briefly describe the bill.
Please do. Do you have any amendments, Senator?
No, okay. I do not.
Please do.
What this bill does is this bill takes the Three Rivers Park District and says that the various watershed districts that are within its Three Rivers Park District will act as one entity to tackle the clean water challenges within the Three Rivers Park District. And so the bill actually appropriates money for that and says that the Three Rivers Park will, in addition, provide matching funds to what it is that the state appropriates. And I do have people with me here today on behalf of the Three Rivers Park to answer any technical questions with regard to how we are approaching this joint powers. The idea in the bill is that because the resources are limited and there are so many great needs all over the state with regard to clean water, that if we can get some matching funds and begin in an area where there's a desperate need, we could go forth and do that.
Okay, welcome to the committee. If you, Senator Betzel, do you have a question?
Well, I had a technical question, but I'll wait until after the...
Okay, welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
My name is John Barton. I'm the Water Resources Manager for Three Rivers Park District.
Madam Chair, thank you. Bo Carlson with Three Rivers Park District.
Court Holton representing Three Rivers Park District. Briefly, this the structure of this bill is that it It has an appropriation section where we would bring $5 million of Park District money to be matched by $5 million from the state, which is a typical of the collaborative setting that regional parks and the state have in historically. We've been doing this for a long time. And then the bill gives the Park District a number of enumerated powers that are directly related to the attempts that will be made with this money to undertake a consolidated effort to react to the very serious water impairment situation that we have in the district in some of our very nicest water resources, which are becoming seriously and rapidly impaired and for which we must take immediate action. I have a water. And these lakes are like the centerpiece of these large parks, and when they go down, that whole park becomes vastly reduced in its significance and value. If we started yesterday, we wouldn't be soon enough. If we don't start pretty soon, we'll be too late. But this arrangement will allow us to actually supplant the other water jurisdictions, the water commissions, the watershed districts, and we can we'll be able to work as a unit. We can bring things to the game that they often do not have. We have more bonding authority than they do. Sometimes they lack the staff and have the money. Sometimes they have staff and don't have the money. Sometimes their jurisdiction isn't enough. What's different about this approach is that we're using a political boundary, and that is boundaries of the Three Rivers Park District, of which we are the custodian of the environment, and we're using that as a basis to go after these water problems instead of piecemeal. And in the end, when you have all your plans done, and we have a lot of this work done already, there comes the execution phase of the problem, and that's off of the program, and that's often where the problem lies because that's spread out too much. We will be able to be, under this bill, the entity that actually executes this plan that will be put together by all the various entities involved. That's the idea of the bill. I know this committee isn't the environment committee, but I can only stress that the importance level on this.
Madam Chair.
Senator Fickerman.
Madam Chair, I heard this for at least an hour the other day, so I kind of know it all by heart. I'm just trying to figure out, we don't have anything to do with the money. There must be a reason. Why was it sent here? Maybe
that's
the
local government. We have local government. And
Madam Chair, I don't know what we need to change. It's spelled out here. All the safeguards are here. It has to be subject to natural resources, which Senator Chaudhry is very particular about. So I'm just trying to figure out why we're spending a couple hours on something that should move along.
Senator Fickerman, we have no intention of spending a couple hours on this bill, I tell you. But Senator Betzel.
I do. Madam Chair, it talks about allowing them to enter joint powers agreement and so forth, so I think it's properly before this committee. I do have a question, page 1, starting line 19. We're allowing them to exercise the power of eminent domain without the restrictions of Section 398.09, paragraph B, clause 1. I did ask Mr. McGowan, but could we state what we're allowing them to exercise eminent domain without a certain restriction? What is that?
Madam Chair, Senator Betzel, that is a provision that allows park districts to condemn property located in a city with the city's consent. And this provision would allow them to do it, presumably then, without the city's consent.
Okay,
that's the limitation of that.
Madam Chair and Senator Bonhoff.
Senator Betzel.
Eminent domain does not happen in a week. It takes a little while. Why should we not at least get the city's consent if we're going to be exercising eminent domain?
Madam Chair and Senator Betzel.
Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you. I agree with you, and I actually offered to carry this bill for for the Three Rivers Park, and I kept that in there on their request, but was very uncomfortable with it. And so, and unless somebody can give me a strong reason and change my mind, I would be inclined to agree with you and strike that.
Madam Chair, and I'll ask counsel if on line 19, if we strike the words without the restrictions of section 39809, paragraph B, clause 1, would that do it?
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Betzold, I would suggest just deleting paragraph 4 because there is authority to exercise eminent domain.
Period.
On,
okay, sure.
Well, in paragraph 9 on the 2.9, so you wouldn't even need it at all.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bonnell.
Thank you, and Senator Betzold and Council, thank you very much. I would be more comfortable with the bill going forward also.
Madam Chair, then I will move to strike the language, subparagraph 4, lines page 1, lines 19 to 22.
We've heard Senator Betzold's motion. Do any of the park districts representatives wish to speak to it one way or the other?
Madam Chairman,
Mr. Holton. Holton.
We're fine with that motion.
Okay. We have Senator Betzold's motion to amend Senate File 1251 by striking lines 119 through 122 and renumbering the section's numbers appropriately. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Are there further questions on this bill?
I'll move the bill, Madam Chair, because...
Okay. Senator Bickerman, seen this bill enough? He moves that Senate File 1251 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Madam Chair, excuse me. Is that the next step for this? Okay, thank you.
The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Okay, the next bill on our agenda, Senator Gretner Solon. Senator Pretner Solon brings us Senate File 641. We have we have the first engrossment in front of us. It does establish a oversight commission, so we'll once again be doing the guidelines.
Yes. And Madam Chair, I have an A2 amendment.
We have an A2 amendment. This is not the first committee that it has been to, so we'll need you to explain your amendment.
A2 actually incorporates some changes to the membership of the commission that were recommended in the previous committee that I had a hearing in, Health and Human Health. Housing and Family Security.
Okay, so it is just adding people at this point. Is that correct?
It's actually
or substituting.
It's substituting,
whatever.
Yes.
It's striking numbers 5 and 6. And inserting essentially categories of 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Is that correct, Senator Solon?
That's correct.
Okay. Any questions about that amendment? Otherwise, Senator Larson moves the A2 amendment to Senate File 641. Everyone in favor of that amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. the going back again over the guidelines, just going right through them, you do name the group. You don't say the total number of people, but you have specified who they are, so perhaps that's not necessary.
There are 11.
Is there a chair of this group?
Well, Madam Chair, it is convened by the Department of Health, and so it's assumed that the Department of Health, and there is one member from the Department of Health. Human Services. Commissioner of Human Services or the Commissioner's designee.
Where does it say who will convene the committee?
It says the Commissioner.
Mr. Bodern?
Madam Chair, I can't find a reference for that. I can supply you with an oral amendment that would take care of it.
Mr. Bodern, if you'd give us the oral amendment.
Okay. On page 2, line 9, after 4, insert and convene the first meeting of, and then it would be the Commissioner of Human Services doing that. And then after the period on line 9, you might want an additional sentence that says, the commission shall select a chair from its membership at the first meeting.
Senator Marty moves that amendment, which then gets us through guidelines 1 through 5. All those in favor of that amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Solon, Bretner Solon, we have the reference to 15059, so that takes care of the compensation issues. The duties are in your first subdivision, as I see it here. To whom will this group report?
Madam Chair, it does not state that. I guess it's assumed it would report to the legislature if necessary.
Where does it say that?
Madam Chair, on page 1, line 13, I think Senator Pretner-Sullen was going to say this, and clause 2 requires them to review all legislative proposals, et cetera, and then make recommendations to the legislature regarding the proposals.
Pretner-Sullen, do you want them to make recommendations to the committees which have jurisdiction over health care,
That would be advisable, I'm sure.
Well, we can make also the same motion that we did with Senator Berglund's bill, so it would be the chairs of the committee and the divisions that have jurisdiction over health care.
That would be acceptable.
Policy. Senator Larson moves adoption of that amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
He doesn't want them to report. Okay.
He gets enough reports.
Let's see. Senator Pretner-Sullen, we have been asking to make sure that these appointments get made in timely fashion, adding a sentence to say that the required appointments shall be made by September 1st, 2007. Mr. Bodern, where does that amendment go?
Madam Chair, you could put that on page 2, after line 7, insert a sentence that says the appointments required by this subdivision must be completed by September 1st, 2007.
Senator Larson moves adoption of that amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. The commission is set up without a sunset date. We ask for
Madam Chair, it actually states it will not expire.
Page 2, line 11.
Well, I see. Okay. The commission does not expire. It says that they should meet twice annually and make recommendations. We have also asked for them to make reports to the legislature on their as part of the accountability measures, and I wonder, as a new sentence following 1.15, we could ask for an annual report, Mr. Bodern, starting January 15, 2008.
Madam Chair, would that be submitted to the same chairs?
Yes.
Okay. So on page 1, line 15, or after line 15, insert clause 3, report to the chairs of the legislative committees and divisions with jurisdiction over health care policy by January 15th of each year regarding the activities, the commission's activities in the previous year.
Everyone understand that motion? All those in favor, please. Senator Gerlach moves that. All those in favor of the motion to amend, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Solton, Partner Solton, how is the group to be staffed?
It states that the Commissioner of Human Service shall provide staff support.
Okay.
2.9.
Then I think we're ready to go on now. The bill in front of us meets the guidelines. If we have other questions or comments, Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We just had this discussion about the appointments, and in this particular case, it says the Speaker and the Minority Leader on the House side, and in the Senate, the option here is for two members, one from the majority party, one from the minority party. However, it still leaves it up to the Subcommittee on Committees, which the minority is a minority member of that. And can we use the same language we used in the previous one to specify that one from the majority leader, one from the minority leader? That way it ensures.
Senator Gerlach, you're starting now to make policy for something that people are bringing forward in their own bills, which I think is a little bit different than what we had in that other bill. I mean, it's okay to make that motion, but I don't want us to get into saying that we're going to ignore the tradition of the Senate, which is the subcommittee on committees, before, and say that this committee is going to change everything to being appointed by the minority and the majority leaders, which is not our tradition.
Okay.
And so I would ask you to let this one go through as it is, and we will have that discussion about with them, if you will, with Senator Senja.
I'm sure that I'll just let that one go.
If that would be okay. Okay. Senator Betzel.
This goes to the Rules Committee then, because it is
legislative. Yes, it's going to the Rules Committee. So
They're going to have to figure that out anyway.
We might ask the Rules Committee for some guidance when legislators are being appointed in the Senate, if they have a preferred policy. And that might even be a subject for a rules change of, by rule, any proposal that involves appointment of legislators or by legislative appointing authorities must be done in a certain way.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense to me, Madam Chair.
Okay. So we have Senate File 641 as amended before us. Senator Vickerman moves that Senate File 641 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that recommended pass and referred to the Committee on Rules. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator Pretner Solon.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
We're gonna skip me here, Senator Betzel. We'll do mine at the end.
Madam Chair,
Senator Larson moves the subcommittee report on Senate File 248. Senator Betzel.
Aye.
On the motion, Madam Chair.
On the motion, all those in favor say. Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
And Madam Chair, this was a bill that was
heard. The report is adopted.
It's heard in the subcommittee. And I did have a witness there. And as I say, he was kind of shy and intimidated by the legislative process.
Sure.
And kind of scared away. Yes. So Senator Wes Skoglund is not here today. but this was his idea. And it's an issue that he's faced and none of us have faced, mainly because we have not sought to retire from the legislature. But there is a requirement in law that a limit that a campaign fund cannot contribute more than $50 to any charity annually. And the reason why is so that we're not hit up our campaign funds by every charity that's out there wanting us to contribute money to them. There's a limit how much we can do. However, since Senator Skoglund is now in the process of he's not going to run again, he says, but he wants to draw down his campaign fund, and he would like to contribute money to charity, specifically to school libraries within his former district. But he can't do it except at $50 a year, and at that rate it would take a couple of years, many years, to do that. So he believes that if you are dissolving your campaign committee, within 1 year you can make more than $50 of a contribution from your campaign fund to charities. And that's the substance of the bill. And as I say, he was just so spooked by the process, he just didn't want to come back this time. But I'm speaking on his behalf. Sorry.
Is there any comment or questions on Senate File 248?
Madam Chair. Just say an individual had 20 or 30,000. Could you give it all to one charity? And I wouldn't want to be able to. I'm just curious. It could. Some people have.
That's exactly what this would mean. If you are in the process of dissolving your committee and you're not going to be using that for any other purpose other than to dissolve it, right now those people are constrained by the $50.
Okay, that's fine.
Amount.
And frankly, where do you send it back? I had a discussion, for instance, with former Senator Knutson. When he became a judge, he had to figure out, where do I send it to? He can't send it back to people who contributed. What did he do with it? Sure. And so sometimes it does come up when you're trying to dissolve a fund. What do I do with the money? Now, obviously, you can give it to other campaigns. You know, hey, we're out here. But sometimes they don't want to do that. So they just feel that there should be some other way to handle this. And this is another option.
Are there any other questions for Senator Beltzold on Senate File 248? Then Senator Beltzold moves that. Senator Gerlach.
Madam Chair. So, Senator Beltzold, what did Judge Knutson do with that money? Because I didn't get any.
No, he didn't give any to me either. No, he contacted Jeannie Olson from the campaign board, and she said that if he was so inclined to, he could send it to the board and deposit it in the general fund of the state of Minnesota, and that's what he did. So, no, he didn't give it to you either, so, okay, so, sorry.
I'll call him.
But because he was being a judge, he wanted to avoid, you know,
any
the partisan
conflict,
issues,
yes,
and so forth, so, right.
We have Senator Betzel's motion, then, that Senate File 248 as be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Betzold. Senator Marty. Senator Marty has two bills. Senate File. Senate File 1095. We have the first engrossment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This bill, just a real brief introduction. Right now we do newborn screening on about 50 different items or 60-some items, and we catch about 50 or so children a year that get remedial help or whatever to address it, and sometimes it prevents fatality or sometimes it just makes their life better. But one test that many states do that we don't is a uniform newborn hearing test, which would pull in some 240 children a year, and if you get help for a child shortly after birth, hearing, it means they will probably be able to participate fully in school. They'll keep up with their peers and so on. If you don't get them till 3 years later, so they've lost the early years of development of speech and so on, and they will tend to be several years behind their classmates in school. It's a very important thing for financial reasons and so on. Anyhow, there's a number of bills related to this issue, and one of the things you have to do is have a good system to how to deal with the information you get when a child is screened, and how the information is set up for dealt with, developing protocols on when the screening is done and what's done to track the children afterwards to help the people who are helping the families and everyone. This bill creates a screening advisory committee that the Commissioner of Health would establish, and that's on page 2 of the bill, and Senate Counsel has an oral amendment to take care of a couple of the concerns. Most of the changes he had, I think, were wording improvements, but then he had a couple of them, like he put in the sunset, which we had suggested was 2013 and so on.
Yeah.
But I will ask Senate Counsel to read the amendment.
Mr. Bodern.
Madam Chair, on page 2, line 2, I would recommend delete appoint and insert establish and convene the first meeting of. Then on page 2, line 17, delete membership of the committee shall include and insert the Commissioner of Health shall appoint. And then on page 3, line 21, after reimbursed, insert as provided in section 15.059. And I'll just add the footnote there that the bill already says it should be reimbursed for expenses, but the reference to that section would clarify that that basically be the same terms and conditions that are used to reimburse state employees for expenses. And then page 4, after line 34, insert a new subdivision 8 with a headnote expiration, and the text would read, this section expires June 30th, 2013.
Madam Chair, I'd move that amendment.
Hey, Senator Marty moves that amendment, and for the clerk's sake, we're going to ask you to repeat it, Mr. Bonner.
Madam Chair, on the entire amendment, beginning on page 2?
Yes.
Okay. On page 2, line 2, delete, appoint, insert, establish, and convene the first meeting of. On page 2, line 17, delete membership of the committee shall include and insert the Commissioner of Health shall appoint. And on page 3, line 21, after reimbursed, insert as provided in section 15.059. And on page 4, after line 34, insert subdivision 8 with a headnote expiration, and the text would read, this section expires June 30th, 2013.
Now, Mr. Bodern, I don't see a I'm not sure that it's needed, but once again, to get the group together, we would like to make a requirement for the appointments to be made by a certain date.
Madam Chair, actually,
or is that in here?
I realize that's already in here, and I thought I needed to address it by oral amendment. I'm not sure how Senator Marty would like to handle it. If you look on page 3, line 13, it says the Department of Health member shall chair the first meeting of the committee. That is probably better direction than the oral amendment that I was suggesting. It'd be simple enough to correct that earlier oral amendment just on page 2, line 2, instead of what I had previously recommended, just delete a point and insert establish.
Right. So we're Senator Marty moves to amend by striking in the previous amendment the insertion of and convene, and to strike that because the language is there. But we're not addressing the other issue I raised. The appointments, you want them to be made by a certain date.
Oh, Madam Chair, thank you. Again, on let's see, on page 3, line 13, before the insert, the commissioner must complete the appointments required under this subdivision by, I assume, September 1st, 2007.
That sounds good, Matt.
September 1st of 2007. Senator Marty moves that amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. I believe, looking through the guidelines, that all the rest are met, Senator Marty. Are there aren't letters on those? Senator Marty moves that Senate File 1095 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Marty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 148 is a fairly major mental health bill, and the one reason the bill has come to this committee, we're trying to change that would not have to go here if this had been in it earlier. And that is the Article 1, page 1, the Crisis Intervention State Council. Crisis intervention teams are usually law enforcement teams that go in, and when they're dealing with people with serious mental illnesses, we have problems that sometimes, if they're not trained appropriately, the situations escalate because confronting somebody and telling them to stop doing whatever can be in a certain circumstance can make the situation worse. And so lots of law enforcement teams like this are being created around the state, and this bill has a proposal in it to provide grants for them. Originally, as the bill has it in it right now, there was going to be a statewide council to help promote this and help deal out with the grants and so on. But upon dealing with the Commissioner of Public Safety and also the recommendations of the previous committee, the suggestion was that instead we should just set up a RFP process for the grants. And this was so based on the previous committee's decision, we said we would work out language to try and do that. So we would be removing this new state council that was being appointed and replace it with this RFP proposal for the commissioner.
Do you have that amendment?
That's the A7 amendment. I'm sorry, I thought that was in the pack. I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's okay. Do other members have the A7 amendment?
I'm sorry.
We're actually deleting that section, and
in effect, Madam Chair,
actually removing the reason why this would have to come here. So I think after we can just go ahead and adopt this amendment and then move the bill along and let the people in finance who would be dealing with the appropriateness of the grants, et cetera, deal with that issue. So Senator Marty moves the A7 amendment. Any discussion on that amendment? Senator Vickerman.
Senator Marty, I don't know if this fits in it, but I'm very concerned about veterans coming back from Iraq, and we haven't put a piece together. That takes, you know, there are a couple suicides that shouldn't have happened. But this would kind of fit in the same thing, wouldn't it?
Senator Marty?
Is it the same?
Yeah. Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Vickerman, I think this would help a lot. Again, this I think the rest of the bill will help in other ways as well because there are, unfortunately, many people coming back with, again, because of the post-traumatic stress and so on. I think this will help make sure that they It should help protect them, I think. And the bill, I think, will help in a number of other ways as well, but this is just one part of it.
Well, Madam Chair, I just raised that question. We got 3,000 coming back here, and they're going to come with all kinds of different mental.
Senator
Marty. I just want to be sure there's a place that they can get to if we need to.
Madam Chair, Sue Abderholden, Executive Director of NAMI Senator Minnesota, National Alliance on Mental Illness. And Madam Chair, Senator Vickerman, if you have police that are trained in dealing with psychiatric emergencies, the outcomes are usually much better. In addition, in the bill, we have an investment in mental health crisis teams, which is even, frankly, better if a crisis team, a mental health professional, can intervene, you know, before a police officer. So I think there are at least two things in this bill that, in the long run, will help those veterans coming back.
And Madam Chair, Senator Vickerman, that really tragic situation that you and others have been talking about so much about dealing with the VA, making sure they don't. I think these intervention teams would be another place they could turn to because they shouldn't have to travel to the VA to do that. We want to make sure around the state these communities are there because, it's inexcusable what happened there. Well, thank you for pointing that out.
I'm sure, Senator Marty, Vickerman. What happens, they won't go out there.
Right.
You have got to come to
them. And that's what these teams are designed to do. Yes.
Thank you, Senator Vickerman. Did we adopt the amendment? Senator Marty moves adoption of the A7 amendment. Is there anyone who wants to speak in favor or in opposition who has not already spoken? Any more questions? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Marty moves that Senate file 148, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much, Senator Marty. Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. We have Senate File 1311 before us. This was a legislation proposed by the League of Minnesota Cities. This is a healthcare cost containment initiative, really. It gives cities the same authority that counties and state agencies already have by authorizing the cities to engage in preventative health and employee recognition activities. These programs have already actually been established in some cities, such as Maple Grove. You'll see something in your packet about the Maple Grove program. And they didn't realize that they had to have authorization to do that, and the former state auditor flagged this activity as an unauthorized expense. The former state auditor and the current state auditor both support this proposal to actually give them the authorization needed to do this. And these programs, when initiated, again, by the state, by counties, and by the cities that have initiated them, have had very positive results in controlling health premium costs, reducing work-related injuries, and reducing absenteeism. We're not aware of any opposition to this bill, and I have Lori Elliott from the City of Shoreview here to talk about the bill a little bit more.
Ms. Elliott?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Lori Elliott. I'm the Human Resources Director for the City of Shoreview, and thank you all for hanging in here. These meetings get really long, and I appreciate that you can all manage to hang in here and sit through these, I think, day after day. As an average citizen, I don't think
we find
really,
them very interesting.
I'm sure you do. I think as an average citizen, you just don't realize how much effort really goes into the activities in a very short amount of time.
We call this the preseason.
As Senator Lori said, our primary goal here is cost containment. And if you look on page 2 of the Maple Grove handout, which is the large letters and bar charts for the visually impaired and getting older, on page 2 of that handout, you can see the medical savings that they're seeing in their health care premiums for every dollar spent on wellness activities. And I think this shows a direct impact of being able to fund and sponsor wellness programs within an organization. Also, I think what the City of Shoreview and many other cities are starting to implement high deductible health plans, and every employee in our organization with health insurance is on a high deductible plan. And so we have gained their attention. How do I not have to go to the doctor? Because it's costing me, the first $1,000 is out of my pocket. So they are interested in ways to stay healthy and be active. And I think, our lifestyle choices, the kind of impact that we could have on health insurance through our lifestyle choices is significant. And as I said in the House committee meeting, I don't mind saying this, but I really don't like hearing it. If we would exercise, diet, eat right, watch what we eat, quit smoking and drink in moderation, we'd probably cut our health care costs in half. So I don't mind saying it, but I really don't want to give up chocolate and all those other good things that I like. So this is one way to impact that with our employees. And I think, secondly, is there is a trickle-down effect. I went out and started bike riding last summer, and now my husband thinks he should buy a bike. He wants to go out bike riding, too. If we get our employees walking, they're going to want to walk with a spouse, or they're going to go out with their kids, or they're going to do something with someone else in their family. So I think we can have a far more reaching impact than just the single individuals working for us with this particular bill. If you look on page 4 of the Maple Grove handout as well, they are showing some statistics about how this has reduced their workers' compensation insurance costs by 22% over the last 10 years. So also an additional amount of savings can be realized there by employers. So just to wrap up, we're just seeking a level playing field with the state and counties that currently have this authority, and we would appreciate your support.
Are there questions for the witness? Senator Vickerman.
Madam Chair, Senator Laurie, look on the first page. Been here quite a while. If you put on the first line that Commissioner Department of Employee Relations may, I don't think that sends a strong enough message. May does me doesn't have to if you don't want to. Maybe we ought to change that if it wouldn't hurt your bill. I'd want to put shall or some way. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but.
Senator Vickerman, if we put a must in there, we would send the cost of this bill skyrocketing. By leaving it permissive, we might be even able to send this bill to the consent calendar.
So, Madam Chair, then just leave it the way it is?
Yes, sir.
And if they don't do it, we'll come back, and then I will put
Well, he can do it.
The department's not going to be around any longer.
And besides that, we are abolishing that department. So we don't want to put any burden on them when we're changing their function. Senator Betzel, do you have a question or comment?
I was just going to point out, Madam Chair, that, we're abolishing the department, so I'm not sure what the life shelf is of this bill. But anyway, so.
Lori, anything further to say?
I mean, I think the Department of Employee Relations pretty much related to the state operation and really down where we're operating a county or statutory.
Just trying to include other governments.
City
other level government
would still survive when Dewar disappears, I believe. And I would also like to add that I do exercise and watch my diet, and I think there's plenty of room for chocolate. just to be clear and make sure that we don't create some opposition that we're not aware of. So,
Senator Lori, was your request that this bill be considered for the consent calendar?
I would, yes.
Is there anyone who would object? Seeing none, Senator Lori moves that Senate File 1311 be recommended to pass and placed on the consent calendar. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
There are two bills.
There are two bills left. And we will deal with them shortly, I hope.
Senator Rust, welcome back to the committee for Senate File 218.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, Senate File 218 is a response to a bill that we passed last year that raised some concerns in the governor's office that were brought to him by the Minnesota Association of Realtors. Since that time, we have worked with the realtors and come up with a compromise on the disclosure language that has satisfied to date all of the stakeholders in this on this issue. And I have with me Ms. Susan Dewar from the Association of Realtors to answer questions about the bill if members have any. Essentially, what it asks to be done at this point with regard to real estate inside an airport safety zone is both the realtor and the seller may just direct the buyer to the county official for information about airport safety zones that may be impacted by this piece of real estate. So that's where you would get information.
Okay, anybody have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, then I would move that Senate File 218, and it has been amended, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Commerce.
Everybody has heard Senator Rust's motion that Senate File 218 be recommended to pass and referred to Commerce. Any questions on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And we will take up Senate File 1753.
Mr. Chairman, I have a delete-all amendment to Senate File 1753. I move the delete-all amendment.
This is an author's amendment, correct?
Yes.
All in favor of the A1 amendment as an author's amendment? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Motion carries. The bill in shape.
And
describe it?
This is setting up an airport advisory task force. There's been some issues raised in the stakeholders' community about the way in which airports are funded. There might be some better ways or either better ways or at least changing the ways, looking at the ways in which airports are funded and airport funds are the revenues for them are garnered in other areas of the country, et cetera. And so we have this bill that would set up this advisory task force to look into those to those issues. I hope that we have met all the guidelines, Mr. Boddard.
Better.
There is an appropriation in the bill, but it also has legislators in the bill on the task force, so it needs to go to rules if it is approved. Senator Gerlach, I do make reference to the subcommittee on committees, and again, I will make a formal request actually for the committee on rules to give us some guidance on how they would like that handled. But we have a convening authority, which would be the director of the aeronautics office, but then the members will elect a chairperson from their membership. The appointments need to be done by September 1. The compensation, I think, is referenced, is it not, Mr. Bonner, somewhere? Not.
Mr. Chairman, this does not provide any, unless you specifically reference compensation under Section 15059, it would not provide any.
Well, the appropriation coming from this would be coming from the state airports fund itself. Would we still reference 15059 for the public members in terms of the way in which that appropriation would be meted out? I mean, you understand what I mean?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rust, if you want to provide per diems and other expenses, you would typically, I mean, I guess you could do it through some other means, but you would reference 15059 just because it
regardless
provides
the source
framework.
Of the funds.
But right now the appropriation would just be used for the administrative expenses and cost of hiring a consultant, the way I read it, if you used a consultant.
Mr. Chairman, I think I do want that reference to 15059, Mr. Bottern.
Mr. Bottern?
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, would that be both per diem and expenses or simply expenses?
Per diem and expenses for the public members.
Then, and Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, I guess the legislative per diems are already basically
taken care of
through legislative rules. You would be applying that to the members under paragraph B at the bottom of page 1 as far as the per diem goes. And you could
then the
appropriation could be used for the legislative per diems as well.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest, then on page 2 after line 6, insert a new subdivision 4. We'll renumber the following one and just give it a head note that says expenses, and the new language would read per diem and expenses are as provided in section Minnesota statutes section 15.059.
We asked this group to make a report by February 15th, and that they would then expire after the presentation of the report. I'd like to, however, make an oral amendment on, so they have a very short life, on in paragraph C in terms of the convening, that the director of the Aeronautics Office and the Department of Transportation shall convene the first meeting of the task force within 2 weeks after a majority of the members have been appointed.
Mr. Bonner, does that amendment work in there? Or?
Mr. Chairman, that's fine. Yep, I have
okay.
that.
Everybody understand the amendment with the two?
Senator, Mr. Chairman, first of all, what happens is the task force is comprised of voting members of the legislators. And then after a chair is elected, that person can select non-voting members. So I think actually my amendment should be shall convene the first meeting of the task force after the legislative members have been appointed. That's my intent.
So, Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest, then the amendment on page 2, line 2, before the period, insert within 2 weeks after the legislative members have been appointed to the task force.
Yes.
Senator Betzer.
Mr. Chair, are we voting on both the per diem thing and the convening?
Unless somebody requests.
I don't think we voted on either one of them yet, so
No, we have not voted on either one of them.
Okay, this is
one. If somebody wants to split them.
No, I just want to make sure.
I'm moving them, and you can take them all at once. Or
I just want to make sure I know what's before us. Okay.
Yeah. So, Mr. Bodern, I have made oral amendments with regard to the 15059 convening of when the first meeting must be convened and what else did I do?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, I believe that's it.
That's it.
Everybody understand the two changes that will go into this one amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, there are representatives here from the stakeholders groups. If members have questions for them, otherwise.
Senator Betzel?
Well, and Mr. Chair, and I don't want to take the issue away from Senator Gerlach, but the three members that are appointed by the Senate, there's no guarantee that the minority is going to be represented. So I think there probably should be a sentence saying that at least one member, because they're appointing three legislators. Right. And you probably want to just throw something in, at least one of whom is a member of the minority. So just to guarantee the representation.
Mr. Senator Chairman, Senator Betzel, I will move that amendment.
Mr. Chairman, just to get the amendment clarified here, then on page 1, line 17, after the comma, insert including at least one member from the minority party.
That would be my motion.
Everybody understand the motion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Rest. Last week, I mentioned to you on the list of the stakeholders if we could add one to that.
Yes.
And I just wonder if we could just do it as an oral amendment.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mr. Chair, and make a motion on the list of stakeholders. I understand it's a list that says including but not limited to, but there's an aviation group, the Minnesota Wing Civil Air Patrol, that has a large stake in the airport operations around the state. And so I thought if wherever on the list it's a fit, I don't know where, if it matters, or just tag it on the end of the list.
But it just would, make it number 10.
Number 10, it would read Minnesota Wing, capital W, Wing, Civil Air Patrol. That would be, Mr. Chairman, that would be the state organization of the national organization. It would be the state organization.
Mr. Chairman, I support that amendment.
Okay. Any other discussion of this amendment? Do we have the language clear? Anybody have any questions? All in favor of this amendment? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Then, Mr. Chairman, since this task force does have legislative amendment members, it needs to go to the Rules Committee first.
Yes.
So I would move that Senate File 1753, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Rules Committee.
Senator Rest moves that Senate File 1753, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Rules Committee. Everybody understand? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And there,
Mr. Chairman, there's no further business before the committee.
There being no further business before the committee, committee is adjourned.
Okay.
And I'm hanging here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, to get a quorum, just to get going.
It's been enough time sitting, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, just put him on the pile by my feet.
Some more in the compensation council.
Which was his lobbying one again? The lobbying
Yeah.
I think I'm going to vote no.